that doth dwell within each of you. You are blessed. Someone said the best thing is to have God with us. The next best thing is to have men of God among us. And you have men of God among you in this district. Great and noble leaders, men that will lead you to great and glorious heights. I feel like God has spoken to me and told me that you will never be the same again. That something has happened here that will continue on and on and on. I've had a great time with you, and I'll tell others about you. I'll sing your praises in other places. I think I've loved you most because of your worship. Some of you folks flat get with it. I'll tell you a secret about myself. You may be seated for just a moment. When I was 17 years old, in spite of the seriousness of the injury from the car accident that I was involved in, which I've already told you about one night here. When I was 17 years old, I had 37 and a half hours credit toward a master's degree in tap dancing. Most people think that I was a ballet dancer, but I wasn't. I was a tap dancer. And if you watch my footwork on these steps, you can tell that I know something about something. And when I first came into Pentecostalism, I used to practice being awkward, but it didn't work. In spite of the practice, I wound up being more graceful in that than I would normally. So I said, forget it. I'm just going to do my thing. But this business of dancing in the Spirit in Pentecost, when I first came into this, I would never do it. Never. Because I figured that people would say, Stone King knows how to do it, and he's just doing his thing. So I would never do it. I would just never do it. I would tremble or cry or get down and pray or whatever. But I would never really just pick him up and put him down. Do you understand? I just wouldn't do it. Because I figured that people would just think he knows what to do and he's just doing it. But one night, about 5 years after I received the Holy Ghost, I was preaching in the East for Brother Wolf. They were in Delaware at that time. Wilmington, Delaware. Sister Wolf had developed a brain tumor. It was so bad that the pain was so great that when she would walk toward a door, she would misjudge her distance and she would actually run into the door facing. And it progressively got worse and she finally became bedfast. And the doctors were insisting on doing brain surgery. But she would not do it. And she quoted the scripture. She said, if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And she continued to wait. It got to the point where the saints actually would come just in streams through the house, going to the bedroom, kneeling and praying for her, praying for her, praying for her. The end of the story is that she was wonderfully healed, totally, totally healed of that brain tumor. But when I was there preaching, I preached one night just for her on divine healing. And they brought her to the front row of the pews here. And I preached on divine healing just for her, just for her. The whole message was given totally over to her. And she wept. And God did some great things that night and took away some pain. But she was healed about a week later. But in the course of that sermon, I was preaching about 39 stripes save, or 40 stripes save one, which would be 39 stripes upon his back. The Old Testament law was that if you beat them 39 times and stopped and never laid the 40th lash, you could beat them over and over again. But once you put the 40th lash upon the back, the law was fulfilled and you could not go any farther. Most of the victims died before the 39th lash. Jesus didn't. So he was beaten 40 stripes, save one. Somehow or other, in my preaching, I got to counting the stripes that were laid upon his back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And I kept at it. I was going to count all 39 stripes. And the higher I got in the counting, there was some kind of a rhythmic, ecstatic utterance that came to me. I picked up some kind of a Holy Ghost rhythm, and I was counting with actual rhythm. And the rhythm got a hold of me, and I could feel it. And I was sort of out of control, but I had to keep going because I had started counting, and you can't stop. You got to finish the point. When I got to about 27, 28, 29, 30, by the time I got to 35, 36, 37, 38, something took a hold of me that had never taken a hold of me before. And when I said 39, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. But when I came to, and that's the way to say it, when I came to, I was in against the back wall in a heap on the floor. And the place was upside down. And I just sort of peeked out, and they were doing all kinds of things. And I said, Jesus, did you and I do all of this? This is something. But I didn't ask what had happened. I was afraid to ask what had happened. I never made mention of it. I just prayed with the people, did my thing for Jesus, and left the service. That night, around the table eating, as Pentecostals do in Brother Wolf's home, Brother Wolf could not keep it any longer. He just couldn't hold it any longer. He laid down his fork, and he looked across the table at me, and he said, Lee, I want to tell you something, boy. He said, you may have been a dancer, and you may know how to do it. He said, but when you dance before God, you're the most awkward thing I have ever seen in my life. And there was something about him saying it that way that set me free. And from that time on, I haven't cared what it looked like. I haven't cared about anything. All I care about is what I feel. And I feel something wonderful in this place tonight again. And I'm just going to do my thing for Jesus. I want to leave you in this glorious camp meeting with this particular message. May you never be the same again. I want to preach to you tonight about my most favorite subject. Would you stand for the reading of the word of the Lord? Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all you have done, for all that you have given. Thank you for loving Jesus. Thank you for being free in his presence to worship him. There's no one like him. There never will be again. He is the best thing that has ever happened to any of us. And we make no apology to anyone for what we feel or what we do. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, a brilliant court preacher, Chapter 52 in verse 6, Isaiah prophetically said, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, many great and mighty things had happened up until this point. But in Acts chapter 4 in verse 12, there was a conclusive bit of evidence that was expounded in the Word of God as an eternal admonition to the likes of you and me tonight. It has come all the way down to 1988. The apostle wrote and said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want to talk to you tonight about Jesus and his name. Would you lift your hands and would you lift your voice? Sounds wonderful. Wonderful. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hear the cry of your people tonight. Hear the cry of their voices. Hear, O Lord, the worship that is given in this place. Hearken to our cry tonight and on this last night of this glorious camp meeting. For you have walked among us, O Lord, in all of your power. for you, Lord, again tonight. Open our minds with the spirit of revelation and understanding. Help us to see as we have never seen. And may we leave these grounds, O Lord, changed by the touch of the Master's hand, by the sound of His eternal voice. Help us to never be the same again. Help us to take our rightful heritage. Help us, O Lord, tonight to hear and to speak with anointing. We ask you, Lord, in the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing so long. Would you give the Lord one great, roarous round of applause? In the name of Jesus, the Lord bless you. You may be seated again. The disciples had a power to which you and I tonight are utterly strangers. The disciples of old occupied a place of experiential power in God. For the most part, even though we claim to be a counterpart of all of that, and we say that we are apostolic Pentecostals, yet by reading the Holy Writ and comparing that with everyday experiential application of the gospel in our own particular ministries, individually and conglomerately, you and I realize tonight that they had a power, that they walked in a realm to which most of us are total strangers. They knew that to pray in the name of Jesus was as though Jesus himself was doing the praying. They literally took his place on the earth. Jesus had said to them, he said, I will leave you, in essence. But he said, I will send the Comforter. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost. And what I have done, you will do also. But he said, greater things than these will you do, because the Comforter will be in you. People, there is a vast difference tonight between having God with us and having God in us. There is a vast difference. Much of this Christian world tonight has him perhaps with them, but he is not actually in them. There is something that happens when you lift your hands, when you fall out and begin to speak in a language unknown to you. He is not just with you, but he is suddenly in you. And what he did, we can also do. He has given us a license. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, everybody say it. Jesus, say it again. Jesus, say it again. Jesus, in my name, he said, you will cast out devils. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. These signs shall follow them that believe. Literally, these signs shall follow the believing ones. Say, I'm a believer. Say it again. And because you are a believer, something is going to happen for you tonight that has never ever happened before. There is going to come a revelation of the power of the name of Jesus into which you have been baptized that will cause you to be baptized with a holy boldness. Some of you can go forth from this place tonight and you will be able to tear things apart, not because you are who you are, but because he is who he is, and because he is alive inside of you, and because he is alive inside
inside of you, then we can say He is not dead, but He is alive forevermore. And this world is about to see something that they have never seen. Our sons and daughters are about to step forth and to begin to prophesy with an anointing unlike anything this world has ever seen since 33 A.D. I can hear the sound of the rushing mighty wind. I can hear the crackle of cloven tongues of fire in this place tonight. It has come among you here in this camp meeting in Mississippi in 1988. You can hear it. You can hear it. You can hear it. You can hear it. You can hear it by the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus is with us in the power and authority of His name. If language means anything, then Jesus gave the church the power of attorney. We have the legal right tonight as believers to use His name. And the value of power of attorney depends upon how much power and authority are back of that name. So let's look at it. Jesus inherited a more excellent name than any of the angels as the first begotten Son or body of God. Jesus was the name before which every knee should bow in the three worlds by His conquest over sin, Satan, disease, death, hell, and the grave. Jesus acquired a name above all names. Jesus is giving you and me tonight, even in this camp meeting, in this hour, and I want it all over again. He is giving us tonight a signed check on the resources of heaven and asking us to fill it in. We have the right to use that name against our enemies. We have the right to use it in our petitions. We have the right to use it in prayer and praise and worship. That name has been given to us, and Jesus is the mighty victor through death and resurrection. You must understand tonight. Please try to grasp what I'm saying here in these next few moments. You must understand that Jesus, through death, paralyzed him that had dominion of death, the devil. Jesus literally paralyzed the devil. When Jesus rose from the dead, He not only had the keys of death and hell, but He had the very armor in which Satan trusted. Though I cannot pictorially find for you in the Holy Writ scriptures that would back exactly what I'm about to say, yet in my heart and soul, I understand and know that what I'm about to explain to you did most certainly occur. When Jesus hung upon the cross, that one central figure the Romans had crucified many victims, but there was something different about this one in the middle. There was something different about him. He had not struggled on the cross. He had not lashed out at the Roman soldiers. He had stretched his hands and arms out willingly. He had opened his fingers. They did not have to pry the fingers as they did to many victims, and they were not screaming, and the Romans didn't have to slug him in the head to get him to be quiet while they nailed his body to the cross. It must have been uncanny when those Roman soldiers looked into the eyes of this lonely Nazarene who stretched his arms out willingly upon the cross. There must have been something that gripped them that they had never felt before in any other crucifixion. There was something different about him. There was something different about him. We've got to understand anew and afresh tonight. It was not the nails that held him to the cross, friend. It was his love for the likes of you and me. It was his love for the likes of you and me. The devil had fought him. The devil had fought him. They had all fought him. And now, seemingly, was Lucifer's great and mighty hour. For Jesus, this one who had cast him out in the streets and the highways, this one who had caused a herd of swine to run down the steep place and perish in the sea, this one who had caused all this havoc to the forces of hell, was now in the hands of Roman soldiers, and he was being brutally nailed to a rugged tree. And Lucifer was there to rejoice, and in his smugness he watched this, thinking it was all over. And when that cross was suspended and dropped in that hole, and when Jesus agonized there, Lucifer stood there to watch this. He was there to see it all. It was his mighty day of victory. And finally, when Jesus stomped upon the cross and cried with a loud voice, "It is finished!" And when the body shrunk, Lucifer began to rejoice with his cohorts. They raced into the inner courts of hell, into his domain of darkness. And I believe with all of my heart there was a celebration unlike anything that I would be able to with human words put into words. There was a celebration because as far as they were concerned, it was over. And everything was back in their hands again. But I've got news for him and I've got news for you. Right in the middle of the celebration, all of a sudden, at the height of their rejoicing, in the chambers of hell itself, there came a knock at the gates of hell. There was an emissary posted there, and the emissary said, "Who is it?" And the voice answered, "I am Jesus of Nazareth." You talk about a trembling. That devil raced into the very throne room of Lucifer. He said, "Sir, I'm so sorry to mess up this party, but there's somebody standing at the gates." Lucifer said, "Who is it?" And the emissary said, "He says his name is Jesus of Nazareth." You talk about a party coming to a screeching halt. You talk about everything coming to a catastrophic end. I mean, everything just stopped. Everything stopped. And Lucifer said, "You'll have to let him in. You'll have to let him in." And the emissary raced back to the gate and opened the gates of hell. And Jesus himself walked into that place. He walked up to Lucifer as he was seated upon his throne. And Jesus reached forth a nail-scarred hand. And he said to Lucifer, "Give them to me. Give them to me. Give them to me. Give thee the keys. I've come to get the keys of death and hell. I have come to get the keys of death and hell." And Lucifer reached into his garment, if he wore a garment, and he pulled out the keys of death and hell and surrendered them into a nail-scarred hand. And Jesus turned his back upon Lucifer and all of his cohorts and began to walk out of that dark region. But when he got back to the gates, Jesus turned and he screamed back down into those corridors, "Lucifer, in the future, my church will be knocking at the gates, and you must open to them. You must open to them. For it is written that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God." What does that mean for you and me tonight? It means this, that gates don't go any place. Gates are stationary. They don't have feet. If the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, then that is very strongly indicative that the church itself will become the aggressor, and the church will walk up to the gates. And as the church walks up to the gates, this church, of which you and I are a part of tonight, can stand at the very gates of hell and say, "Let my father go. Let my mother go. Let my son go. Let my daughter go. Let my family go. I command it. I command it. I command it in the name of Jesus Christ. I command it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. Nothing shall prevail against this group of people. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Jesus has the keys of death and hell, and nothing by any means shall hurt us. The conqueror is inside of us, alive tonight and well. I feel his mighty power in this place. Would you clap and shout unto the Lord with your voice of triumph? Do it again. There's something about to let loose. Jesus! In the name of Jesus! In the name of Jesus! That's it. That's it. Jesus, Jesus tonight stands before the three worlds, heaven, earth, hell, as the undisputed victor over man's ancient enemy and destroyer. He stands as the master of the universe. All he was is in that name. All he is today is in that name. And that name is ours. The most staggering statement that ever fell from the lips of the man from Galilee was that we are to have the use and the power of his name. What is mine, I do not need faith to use. I have it. 1 John 4:17 makes a very unusual statement. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. If we ever wake up as to who we really are, if we ever wake up to what it is we have inside of us, if we ever come to the fullness of the revelation and understanding, we will all become a bunch of fanatics that will cause the very gates of hell to not only swing open wide, but it will jar them off the hinges. Because this that I feel here among you people is powerful enough to convert the entirety of the state. There's enough Holy Ghost in this place tonight. There's enough anointing on this platform right here to shake this entire country. You could shake the entire country. It's inside of us, and it's trying to get out, Brother Pierce. It's been trying to get out for a long time, and it's getting out. There are some cracks in the structure. There are some cracks and breaks in the traditions, and the light is getting through, and the power is beginning to get out, and the devil is beginning to back away. There is a retreat in the very atmosphere. In this area, I can feel it. I felt it the last couple of days. Something is beginning to retreat, because he is no match for us. The devil is no match for us. He is no match for us because we have the keys. Hallelujah. We must learn the secret of living in that name. If our minds could only grasp the fact that Satan is paralyzed, stripped of his armor by Jesus, and that disease and sicknesses are the servants of this Jesus, that at his voice they must depart, it would be easy for us to live in the resurrection realm. In Matthew chapter 8, a Roman centurion got a hold of it. He came to Jesus and said, Master, my servant is sick. Jesus said, I'll go with you to your house. The Roman centurion says, not important, Master, that you come. Not necessary. He said, I've got 100 under me over here, and I've got 100 men under me over here. And if I say to this one, go, he goes. And if I say to that one, go, he goes. He said, Jesus, if you will just say the word, it will go. It will depart from my servant. What he was really saying to Jesus is, just as I have men under authority to me, so all sickness and all disease is under authority to you. If you say go, it's got to go. If you say leave, it's got to leave. He understood something that most Christians, even in our day with the Holy Ghost, do not understand. He understood that the voice of Jesus would cause the thing to go. If we could understand tonight that the Holy Ghost that speaks through us in languages unknown to us is the same Spirit that said, let there be light. If we could understand that this speaking with tongues is the same Spirit that caused a virgin to conceive, we would come out of our shells and begin to exercise the authority and the power of the name. Clap again just for a moment. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to get it. I want you to get it. Loosen yourself and clap with all of your might and ask God to give you a revelation. Ask God tonight in this place to give you a revelation. A revelation. A revelation, son. A revelation of who it is that you really are. We're not just a bunch of nobodies. We're not just a bunch of nobodies. We used to be, but now we're a bunch of somebodies going somewhere. Because I have met this man called Jesus, and he has changed my life. I'm on my way to heaven. I was lost, but now I am found. I am found. I am found. And we have a right to do this. We have a right to dance and to shout and to worship Him. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not only are we saved by the name, but we are baptized into the name. Into it. Into it. The early church is something that is not forcefully carried out among us. They acted for Jesus in His stead. The early Christians were taught that when they met together, they gathered around that name. That name was the center around which everything revolved. Their prayers were addressed in that name. Say it. In that name, the sick were healed. Say it. In that name, demons were cast out. In that name, the Holy Ghost came. In that name they worshipped. All the work of the early church was wrought in that name. Colossians 3:17 says they were taught to do all things in that name. Ephesians 5:20 says they gave thanks always for all things in that name. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says they were washed, sanctified, justified in that name. Hebrews 13:15 says they were to make confession to His name. James 5:14 says, anoint the sick with oil in that name. We have been given a deed. But how few of us really know, possess, or enjoy what our deed covers. If you know you have $1,000 in your checking account, it doesn't take any faith to write a check for $800. But if you're going to write one for $1,200, you better have a lot of faith. What I'm saying to you is this. It doesn't take a lot of faith to be able to administer and to minister this gospel. You know how I know that? Because we've got it in the bank. We've got it in the bank. I've been to water in the name of Jesus. I've been to the river. I've been to the fountain. I've been to the place. You have been to the river. You've been to the fountain. You've been to the baptistry. You're in the name. You've got the name engraved upon the tissues and the fibers of your heart. It's in the bank, friend. It's in the bank. It's in your life. It's in your heart. You've got it. Everybody say, I've got it. Say it again. One more time. I want you to believe that you've got it. And I want you to act like you've got it. Because you really do have it. I've got it. I've got it. I want the devil to hear me. I've got it. 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 And I know that I've got it. Peter and John, when they walked up to the gate, beautiful, and the lame man was there, Peter knew he was acting in Jesus' place. He had seen Jesus do things like this. Now he used that same authority. You will notice from the text that Peter did not stop and pray for a sick man. He simply said, such as I have. In other words, he was saying, I have it. I've got it. It's in the bank. So such as I have, I write a check out enough that will cause strength to come to these crippled limbs. He took a hold of him and gave him a little nudge, and he pulled the man to his feet, and the man went leaping and shouting in the temple because somebody wrote a check. It's already been signed. He remembered what the Master said. Whatsoever you ask in my name, say it. I will do it for you. They didn't argue about it, worry about it, analyze it. They simply entered into that rite with the simplicity of a child. We have been baptized into that name publicly. We are in Jesus. And being in that name, we act respectably and representatively, legally in His stead. In other words, when Brother Travis goes to the hospital to pray for a sick individual or to a home, Jesus is not going to walk down the ivory staircase out of ivory palaces. He doesn't have to. He's got Him. And so when He walks in the hospital, He comes in Jesus' place. When you went to the Philippines, you went in Jesus' place, and you did it as He would have done it. When you go to the church and stand in the pulpit, you have come in His place to say what He would say. Consider something. Jesus' life was a miracle. His wisdom and teaching were miraculous. He lived and walked in the realm of the miraculous. He made miracles common. His death was a miracle. His resurrection was a miracle. His ascension was a staggering miracle. But perhaps the most outstanding miracle of all those days was the event of Pentecost. You must understand that Jesus purposely chose 12 ignorant, unlearned fishermen for the most part. The Bible says they were ignorant men. The learned men of the day called His disciples ignorant. But there was one thing they had to admit, ignorant or not ignorant. The Bible says they perceived that they had been with Jesus. How could they perceive that? Because they were doing what this man Jesus did. They were laying hands on Him. They were speaking to Him. Shadows were passing by. People were leaping in the streets. There was no stopping it. Everywhere they went, everything was upside down. Peter was a trembling, fearful, denying man. But when he stumbled out of that upper room about 9 o'clock in the morning on the day of Pentecost, he fearlessly met that crowd and began to preach as the prophet Joel had declared. He fearlessly faced the Sanhedrin, the Senate, the high priest, with a power that shook everything. A stream of miracles flowed from the hands of the apostles that upset Judaism and shook the Roman Empire to its very foundations. If you begin to understand tonight that 12 ignorant, unlearned fishermen, for the most part, with the exception of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, they shook the Roman Empire from center to circumference. Even in the household of Nero, his own wife, the Josephus says, was converted by the preaching of these Christians. It was in Rome. It was under the emperor's nose. The more they fought it, the more it grew. You cannot fight, as I've already said, what you cannot see. You cannot fight it. It's like a fire shut up in our bones. It's like an angel walking through the wall. It's a power that is unleashed in this world tonight. 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 In this place. Man is the offspring of that miracle worker. Christianity is based on a series of miracles culminating at Pentecost, and it must not die. We are the generation alive to awaken it again. Everyone say amen. Apostolic Christianity, not just Christianity. But apostolic Christianity is the life of God in man. The deep-seated hunger in the human heart for God is the reason for all religions. You know why there's so much occult practice going on in this world? It's because there is more evidence of the devil than there is of God. The pulpits of our day are not preaching what you've been hearing here in this camp meeting. They're preaching everything else but, and the devil's walking in. He's become the aggressor. But there's a people rising up. There's a people rising up. A people who are called by His name that are rising up, and they're beginning to march like an army. There's a thunderous footfall in the earth tonight. There's a power of a name that is rising again, and it's causing everything to be shaken that can be shaken. Clap again, because I think maybe you want to. Men are easily deceived by pseudo-miracle workers because of this hunger for the supernatural. People, we say tonight that we are Pentecostal. We say that we are a counterpart of the rushing mighty wind in 33 A.D. But I have come to this camp meeting and every place else I go to say to you that if we ever take or allow the supernatural to be taken out of this apostolic message, we've got only another religion. Oh, we've got another religion. We're no different than the rest of them. We're no better than the rest of them. If you ever take the touch of the miraculous out of this thing, oh, you've got another stinking religion. And this world does not need another religion. This world needs to see this man Jesus taken out of the ink and the paper. Somebody, Brother Pierce, needs to get Jesus out of the ink and the paper and present Him alive in full view before the masses of this present world. If we could ever get Him out of the book, if we could ever get Him out of that book, people will love Him. They will come flocking to Him because they want to see Him. People are sick of religion. People are sick of preaching. People are sick of meetings. People are sick of everything. But can anybody get us to Jesus? Can anybody get us to this man? Can anybody help us to feel Him? Can anybody get Him to me? Can anybody help me to touch Him? Does anybody know Him? The supernatural is our heritage. It's our heritage. Thousands of years ago, Abraham, the Old Testament is brimming with miracles. Joseph, the plagues in Egypt, the Exodus, the Red Sea opening, the prophets of old, the kings, to finally the miracle of miracles. The Holy Ghost overshadowed a virgin whose name was Mary in a Roman province called Judea. The remains of a glorious kingdom once called Judah. How could God overshadow a virgin and she conceive? Because man is God kind. He was made in the image and likeness of God. He is the same species. But man, since the fall, became mankind. And then he became devil kind. And he is becoming more devil kind all the time. Read the newspapers. See the news. Watch the streets. Man is becoming devil kind. And the only hope of restoration is this rushing mighty wind, this Holy Ghost. It lifts man back to a level of God kindness. God forbid we become hearers of the word and not doers. God forbid that we hear this over and over to use or speak that name of Jesus, because it was in the name. They could deal with their philosophy. They could hassle with their doctrines. But when they spoke that name, that is when it began to shake. That's when the miraculous began to happen. They said, keep preaching, Peter, but we forbid you to use that name. Peter said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more and to God judge ye. But we can do nothing else. We're going to keep it up. And the Bible says they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. It doesn't say they saved everybody in Jerusalem. It just says they filled the city with their doctrine. I would to God that your city was filled with your doctrine. I would to God that every city where we've got UPC preachers, that we filled the city with our doctrine. In every house, they were talking about us speaking with tongues. They were talking about us baptizing in Jesus' name. And we're talking about signs and wonders and miracles. You get a whole city talking about what we believe, and you've got an automatic revival. You've got an automatic revival. We need to fill our cities and our countryside with our doctrine. No, I'm not ashamed of this. Yes, I'm one of you. I have been baptized in Jesus' name. I have been to water in His name. I have spoken with tongues. I do believe in one God. I do believe in miracles. I do believe in signs and wonders. I do believe in angels visiting man. I do believe it. I do believe it. I do believe it. I do believe it. Do I have any other believers in this place tonight? Are there any other believers? Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. The name of Jesus. Oh, please get this one. The name of Jesus was in the hands of the Apostle Paul, but the rod was in the hands of Moses. If the Egyptians could have stolen the rod, they would have stripped Moses of his power. If the Trinitarians and others of this world could strip us tonight of His name, we would have lost our power and our weapon. And they're trying to do it. They are trying to do it. The modern church, having lost the power of the name of Jesus, is reduced to the position of a shorn Samson. Blind, staggering, in chains. This Gentile church is a people taken out of the world unto the name of Jesus. He's coming for a people who are called by His name. My name may be Lee Stone King, according to the records in Washington, D.C. and birth certificates. But there's something much more important there. It's not just Lee Stone King. It's Lee Stone King Jesus. And when He comes in the clouds of glory, He's not going to be looking so much for the Lee Stone King. He's going to be looking for Jesus. And everywhere He sees Jesus, there's going to be a grave open. There's going to be a roof blow open. There's going to be a soul go up. He's coming for a people who are called by His name. He is coming for a people who are called by His name. Not a bunch of titles, but His name. Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. But there is a name called Jesus that is the greatest name in all of existence. And it is to this name tonight that we give allegiance and obeisance. It is to this name that we worship and give credence and adoration. Are you glad that your last name is Jesus? Are you glad your last name is Jesus? Clap. Thank Him for it. This church is a supernatural body, clothed with supernatural power, gathered about a supernatural name. One mighty miracle today in the name of Jesus Christ is worth more than 1,000 modernistic sermons that are being preached in many churches. Stand up, brother. He came to this camp meeting with a medical prognosis and diagnosis of cancer. We have laid hands upon him and prayed for him in the name of Jesus. Everyone say it.
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
He told me tonight when I came on the platform, they took a bone marrow test and it came back absolutely negative. Negative! Because there is power, there is power, there is power, there is power in the name of Jesus! He is healed by the power of the resurrected one whose name is Jesus of Nazareth! I feel like shouting, I feel like dancing. That's it. Do it again. One more time. He is worthy. 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 Worthy! Jesus. 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 Jesus, 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 Jesus is the one name that challenges an adjective to qualify it. There is no name like unto it. When his name is spoken, it's like sunshine coming through a gray, cloudy day. It's like a fresh breeze. It's like the taste of honey, the smell, the fragrance of the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. It's like stars twinkling at night. It's like moonlight glistening upon the waves of a far distant sea. It is music that has an incomparable melody. The name of Jesus was to take the place of his physical body on earth. What the rod was in the hands of Moses, the name of Jesus is in the hands of the weakest child of God. I've known people to backslide from this, and in their weakened, backslidden condition, devils would come against them to take them over, to pull them down to the final level. And weak Pentecostals backslidden have been able to say Jesus. And in their backslidden, weakened state, devils still back away because of the mention of that name. The weakest one among us here tonight, whoever you might be, down on your knees praying in the name of Jesus causes the devils to tremble. It causes them to back away. They will come right up to you. They'll walk right up to you until you say, Jesus, and they will stop. And if you keep saying it, they will back away. They will back away because they have no choice. There is no name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved except this name. There is no other. It is the name that the three worlds tremble, heaven, hell, and earth. It was not Moses that was great. It was the rod that was great. It's not us that are great. It's the name that is great. The thing that makes us different, Brother Travis, is that we are the people of the name. There are other people who are speaking with tongues, but they're not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same. There's something different when you have got the name. That's it, brother. I perceive he's got it. I'm talking about the name and the Spirit. Let's rejoice with him. Let's just rejoice with him a little bit. I have his name. It's the greatest revelation. It's the most wonderful understanding. This name of Jesus. Oh, Brother Spears, there is something in this place tonight from ancient days. There is something walking in this place tonight that is from ancient days. People, this is the greatest message. It's the greatest message because it's the greatest name. There is no name like unto his name. There is no power like unto this power. There is none. There is none, neither in heaven nor in earth. There is nothing to compare with his name. The power of attorney in the legal and business world is identical with the presence of the person who gave it. 2 years ago, my father died in my arms. This February, my mother dropped dead. She left me as the executor of the estate. I walked into the bank and signed anything in her name, and it was as if she had walked in. Jesus has given the church the power of attorney. When we walk in, though they may sit in darkness, it is as if he walks in. When we come in his name, it is as if he had come personally into the hospital, into the restaurant, into the church, into the streets. It is as if Jesus himself had walked in. The power of attorney. You've been an attorney for a long time. You've had it for a long time. When a woman is married into the name of the husband, she is married into his wealth, honor, and glory, and becomes identified with him in all that he was or ever will be. When you and I went to water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and became the bride of the Eternal One who was, who is, and who shall be, whose name has been revealed in this dispensation as Jesus, when we are baptized into his name, we become a part of his wealth, honor, and glory, and we become identified with him in all that he was and is and shall be. I shall be changed like unto his glorious body. I may not be much tonight, but I'm going to tell you, someday I'm really going to be something. When I'm walking along someday on the sidewalk and lift my foot and my foot lands on air and I begin to rise and I see him in the clouds of glory, I'm really going to be something. I'm really going to be something. I'm really going to be something because I'm going to be changed like unto his glorious body. Jesus died as our representative. Now we live as his representative. I do not have to take this position. I am in this position. To come in the name of Jesus means to come in his place, in his stead, as his representative on his behalf. Not just calling on his name, there's a difference, but coming in his place. The power of his name has never fully been tapped, but we're scratching something tonight. We are scratching something. I was in a service one night. You may be seated if you like. I was in a service one night. I was tired. I had fought devils and everything. I've done a lot of work in home missionary churches, storefronts. Little tiny crowds of people. I preached to handfuls. All my life I've given to home missionary work. And I preached in some wretched places and some glorious places. But one night I was preaching in a wretched place. And there was a man sent by the devil. He came walking down the center aisle. And I knew when I looked at him from the platform, the devil had sent him to torment and disrupt that service. And I don't pray to the devil, but I have talked to him. I said, "Devil! Satan! You see that man coming down the center aisle that you've sent in here? You had best get him out of here. Because if you don't, I'm fixing to convert him." I said, "In Jesus' name," that man stopped cold, stared at me, turned, and ran out. That's the kind of power that we've got a hold of. That's the kind of power that we've got a hold of. You can speak to devils, and they'll back away. You don't have to be afraid of anything. You don't have to be afraid of anybody. If you're walking down the street some night and a bunch of thugs come out of the shadows of an alley and they're going to do this or that, let them think it. What you need to do is throw your hands in the air and shout, "Jesus!" and begin to pick them up and put them down. If you begin to dance in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost will come. Angels will come. Those thugs will run like rats in a rainstorm. They'll run like rats in a rainstorm because there's no power like unto this power. There is no glory like unto this glory. There is nothing in all of the world or the universe that can compare with what's in us tonight in this place. There is nothing like it, Brother Pierce. And you and I have got a hold of it, man. And we're going to keep a hold of it. And nobody's going to stop it. Oh, would you clap and shout unto the Lord in the name of Jesus of Nazareth? There's one out. A whole bunch more to go. And I close with this. I want you to understand that you've got it. And that when you walk out of here at this camp meeting, you don't ever have to be intimidated again. By a devil, devils, people, situations, or anything. Never again. Never. You don't have to be tormented. Son, you don't have to be tormented again. Ever. Like you've been tormented. I've watched you, and I think I know what's wrong with you, and I'm not going to say, but you don't ever have to be tormented with it again, because in the name of Jesus Christ, it's gone. It's gone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be thou delivered and set free. If you lift your hands right now, there's a touch of deliverance in this place. Say in Jesus' name. It's all right, boy. It's all right.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Jesus! Hallelujah!
You may be seated. There's more that's going to happen here tonight. It's the last night tomorrow, Saturday. I'd rather have him there than in some bar room. How dare you criticize us? In Anaheim, California, I preached a Thursday night service there several years ago. What is it now? 5 years ago? I don't remember. Anyhow, on Thursday night, there were masses of people that came to the altar. Someone, Bill Hardin from Little Rock, Arkansas, came to me. And he said, Brother Stone King, he said, there's a child over here dying with leukemia. He said, they want you to pray for this child. I said, well, you have to lead me to the child. I don't know where they are. He said, okay. He led me clear around through all those people. He led me to a mother who had driven, I think it was 12 hours one way to get to that service. Here she held her 3-year-old little boy dying with leukemia. He was in the last stages. The body was beginning to deteriorate. His eyes were rolled back in his head. His flesh was just an awful looking pallor. I'll never forget it. Here stood a sister of mine in the Lord, holding this 3-year-old boy. The other hand was raised. His legs were dangling in his arms. But with the other hand, she was worshiping Jesus. She wasn't begging, and she wasn't whining. She was worshiping. We took a hold of that baby, Brother Hardin and I, and we prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I felt the power of that name go out of me. It's called virtue. I felt it go out. The mother wept. They pulled me away to go somewhere else. I did not know the end of the story. I pray for thousands of people. You do too, Brother Pierce. You don't always know. You prophesy, tell them things. But we never hear the end of the story sometimes. They asked me to come and preach the Oregon camp meeting about 3 years ago, and I did. After the first night, Brother Johnson took us out to eat in a restaurant. He said, Brother Stone King, do you remember the child you prayed for in Anaheim that was dying with leukemia? I said, yes. We're 3 years later down the road now. He said, did you ever hear what happened to that child? I said, no. He said, Brother Stone King, I can tell you the rest of the story because that boy and that mother was from our district. He said, from that moment on, that child was totally healed. Totally healed. I said, Brother Johnson, is that baby in this camp meeting? Is he here? He said, yes, I'm sure that he and his mother are here. I said, you bring that child to me. I want to see him. The child is now 6 years old. The next night when I walked into the camp meeting through the side door, that mother and that child were standing there. I didn't see them. They grabbed my arm and I turned around and they said to me, this is Mark Sargent. I looked down into the eyes of the most beautiful little boy, the most handsome child. His eyes, dark brown, dark hair, little white shirt, a bow tie, dark blue trousers. I'm very observing. Here this child was. He reached his arms up to me, and I knelt on my knees and pulled that child to me and thanked this man called Jesus for a power that still exists in the world tonight that could do such a miracle. The next night was Wednesday night. There was a move of God. Let me leave that story and go to this other one I want to tell you. There was a woman who came in a wheelchair. Her name was Esther. And I'm coming to a close. Esther had come to this camp meeting. No one really seemed to know her, who she was. Unknown to us, Esther was sleeping on the ground in a tent on the grass, crawling to this wheelchair. It was motorized, and she was coming to these camp meeting services every night.
And when the altar call was given, she pushed the button and she was the first one to the altar every night. Sleeping on the ground, coming in a wheelchair. That's more than some people would do who can walk. We did not know she was sleeping on the ground. She was terribly crippled. Her head was like this. Her hands were in straps. Her hands were terribly twisted. But she came. On Wednesday night, I was working with faith. The power of God hit. There was a man who was a polio victim that had braces on his legs that came walking down the aisle with canes. And he threw the canes down and kept on walking toward me. When the people saw him walking without the canes, this man was sobbing. When I got to him, he was speaking with tongues. He said, "Brother Stonking, I haven't walked like this since I was a child." He said, "I haven't done this since I was a child." And the people began to shout and worship God. All of a sudden, I felt somebody pulling on my pants leg. I looked down. Here was Mark, this little six-year-old boy. I said, "Mark, what are you doing down here, buddy? You're going to get trampled in this crowd. You need to get up over here on the other side of this altar area." I said, "What are you doing?" And like a child would say, he said, "I'm just looking around." I said, "You're going to get trampled, boy. Let me get you out of here." I pulled him up here, and I set him on my lap. And I said, "Mark, would you like to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost?" He said, "Oh, no, no, no." He said, "I'm not ready for anything like that." He was afraid. I rephrased my question. I said, "Mark, may I just pray with you?" "Oh, yeah." I put one hand on his little chest and one hand on his little back. And I began to say, "Oh, God, give this child the Holy Ghost." And all the Father I got was, "Oh, God." And that little fellow bent double, speaking with tongues, he just spit it out. I mean, he just spit it out. And when I stood to my feet and said, "Mark, has the Holy Ghost?" The people began to worship and shout because they knew the story. His mother came running. It was about this time that Esther, in this wheelchair, I saw this with my own eyes. Esther took her hands and she took those leather straps that had her wrist bound and she began to tear at them and she tore them loose. She tore these straps loose and she threw them on the floor of the tabernacle, and then she took a hold of the arms of the wheelchair. Faith without works is dead. Being alone, she pulled herself to her feet and she lifted those twisted hands to the Lord and she began to worship and speak with tongues. People came running. They came around and they worshiped. But Esther did not walk. By this time, the women had found out she was sleeping on the ground, and they had moved into the women's dormitory where they could help her dress and help her shower and help her comb her hair. And now they were helping her, and here she was. There was a glorious move of God in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And the next night, the thing started off just uproarious. I mean, it was tremendous. Esther again was the first person in the altar. She was the first one down there. And I had prayed for her before. Gentlemen, don't stop praying. I don't care how many times you've done it. Do it one more time when you feel like it. Do it again. Just keep doing it. And so I left the platform and went down to her. And she was standing again without the braces on her wrist. She was standing. And I prayed a prayer in the name of Jesus that was authored by the Holy Ghost. Words poured out of me that were not my words. I prayed a prayer. I wish it was on tape because of what I felt when I was uttering these words. But I prayed it in Jesus' name and walked away from her to help other people receive the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, there was an explosion behind me. But we had a lot of explosions, so it wasn't anything new. And I just sort of turned around and couldn't see anything. Just a mob of people doing whatever. And this man was almost ready to speak with tongues, and I wasn't going to let go of him. But yet I was hearing all of this, and I was working with him. A friend of mine was there from the Northeast, and she was up on a pew. Many people were climbing on pews, and preachers were climbing up on the platform on high places and all of this. And this friend of mine said, "Brother Stone King, you need to see this." I said, "What is it?" She said, "Come and see." So I left this man, and I climbed up on a pew, and I looked into this. The thing that had happened was that the power of the name of Jesus had hit Esther. And people, I'm not exaggerating, her twisted hands straightened in the air. And the girl turned and she began to walk. She literally began to walk in the name of Jesus. I've got photographs of this. She began to walk in the name of Jesus. And as she began to walk, people began to fall in behind her, and people made a highway for her, and she began to lead a victory march. Esther led a victory march all the way around that tabernacle, and the saints fell in behind her, and the preachers, and they began to sing, "Glory, glory, hallelujah, his truth is marching on, his truth is marching on," and they began to sing. It was like angels. It was like the roar of Niagara Falls. They were marching, singing, "His truth is marching on." It was glorious. I felt Jesus so powerful. I knelt on my knees and closed my eyes and tried to hold on to the reality of Jesus. I don't think I've ever felt him just like that. The people, I can't describe it. It was glorious. It was heavenly. It was wonderful is what it was. But that night, when the service was over, Esther walked out and left the wheelchair empty at the altar. We watched her walk out, and the wheelchair was empty. Its victim had been set free by a name that has been given into the hands of the likes of us. Next morning, she was in the Bible class, sitting in the audience, and they left the wheelchair empty at the altar. She came for choir rehearsal Friday afternoon, and the wheelchair was still empty. I watched her sing in the choir Friday night. She danced in the Spirit and worshiped God. I preached the camp meeting in Oregon the second year straight. Esther was back at the camp meeting, worshiping God. And this little 7-year-old boy now, Mark, was falling along beside me, crawling over pews, laying hands on people, helping people to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just got a letter from his mother. She said, "Brother Stone King, the child is witnessing everybody. He's telling everybody he wants to be a preacher someday." Because of a name called Jesus. Say it. Say it again. When you say it, the heavens tremble and move, and the earth becomes a footstool for his nail-scarred foot to step upon. Devils back away. Hell begins to shake. The gates of hell tremble and begin to become ajar because of a church of people who used to be this and used to be that and used to be something else, but who are not this or that or something else anymore, but who are born again, sons and daughters of a King whose name is Jesus. And it is in that name that we come to this camp meeting tonight. It is in that name that we come to this world tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And through that name, we're going to release to you, by the help of all of us together, a power that will turn your life totally around. In Jesus' name, say it. Say it again. Again. Power. You've got it inside of you. I challenge you. I challenge you to use it. One more story. In Staten Island, I preached away like this one night. A woman got a hold of it. The next day, there was an accident in the street in front of her house in Staten Island. A cop on a motorcycle was hit by a car. He was thrown off the cycle into the gutter, they call it. And the motorcycle was crumpled. His clothes were torn. There was blood. This woman got a hold of what I'm talking to you about here tonight. And you ought to know her. She's a saint of God. She didn't even take her apron off. She threw open the front door, ran out in the yard across the street, and got down in the gutter with this policeman and put her hands on his chest and began to rebuke all this in the name of Jesus, and then went off speaking with tongues about 500 miles an hour. She was lost in this. It was the sound of the ambulance sirens that brought her out of it. They came and scooped up this cop and took him to the hospital. When they got him to the hospital, in spite of blood on the clothes, they could not find one scratch. They could not find one cut. They could not find one bruise. They could not find one broken body. Bone, they could not find anything wrong with him. When she went to visit him in the hospital, you know what the cop said? The cop said, "Lady, I'm coming to that church. I want to see what kind of power it is that you have got that would do something like this for me. I'll tell you, Brother Cole, what kind of a power it is. Brother Mallory, I'll tell you what kind of a power it is. It's the power of a name that an angel said, his name shall be called Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." Would you release it? Would you release the name of Jesus in your life? Would you release the name of Jesus in your life right now? Would you let it go? Would you lay a hand on somebody near you and say, "In Jesus' name, I challenge you, I challenge you, I challenge you to lay a hand on somebody in the name of Jesus." Sister Frazier, I pray for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the name of Jesus. By the power of the name of Jesus, I challenge you to lay your hands upon somebody in the name of Jesus. 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 There's something going out of you. There's something going out of you. There is something going out of you. There is something going out of you. You've got it. You've got it. You've got it. You've got it all the way back here in this aisle. You've got it all the way back here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Keep on saying it. Just keep on saying it. Just keep on saying it. In the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I challenge you. In the name of Jesus. People, we got to wake up to this. We got to understand this. We've got it. We've really got it. We've really got it. We really do have it. We really do have it. In the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You've got it, Brother Dylan. You've got it. You've got it. You people have really got it. You've got to believe this. You've got to believe me tonight when I tell you that you have got it and you're never going to be the same. You are never going to be the same. We are never going to be the same. We are never going to be the same. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. It's trying to get out. That's it. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Travis. Sister Travis, where are you with that back condition? Sister Travis, where are you? Come here, Sister Travis. Come here, Brother Pierce. There's a name, Sister Travis. There's a name. There's a name. We're going to lay hands on you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I bring you Jesus. I bring you Jesus. I bring you Jesus. I bring you Jesus in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I speak to this back. Be thou healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say it, Jesus. Oh, sing it tonight. Hallelujah. 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 We've got to have it. We've got to have it. We cannot make it without it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be thou healed in Jesus' name. Be thou delivered in Jesus' name.